To him who lives eternally, to save, to ransom, and rescue, be praise and honor, glory and power, now and forevermore. Amen. John records, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. It had been a long and dark night. Mary could not wait for the sun to lighten the streets. With her lamp in one hand and her burial spices in the other, she went out the door. Even though her eyes were filled with tears, she could find her way through the dark. She knew exactly where Jesus' body was laid. Just when she thought she had seen the worst, her heart once again was crushed. The stone was rolled away and Jesus' body was missing. Mary was one of the women who were standing beneath Jesus' cross, watching him die. She saw the soldiers beat him, whip him, and pound spikes through his hands and feet. She heard Jesus gasp for air, promise the thief paradise, and cry out to his heavenly Father. Jesus' blood dripped to the ground while his breathing grew weaker until it stopped. As his lifeless body hung there, it was transformed by the ugly, hollow look of death. These images burned themselves into Mary's memory. She would shake forever from their terror. From that moment on Friday, when the men rolled the stone over the entrance to the tomb, to Sunday morning, Mary probably relived the horror that she had saw. Jesus' death was not just a sad event for Mary. It created a tragedy of destruction for her. Jesus' death was the loss of everything for her. Only a few years earlier, Jesus had driven 7 demons out of Mary. She had lived in the dark, tortured life of demon possession. Jesus set her free from the control of evil spirits. He filled her soul with light, peace, and joy as she trusted in him. Mary traveled with Jesus. She heard his Sermon on the Mount and saw him raise Lazarus and heal the lepers. Mary supported Jesus with her own money. She was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, her Savior. But now he was dead. How could Jesus be her Savior if he was dead? Did that mean it was all a lie? Was Mary still in her sins? Would the demons come back to possess her? Would she be plunged into the dark eternity of evil with them? John records, Mary came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Jesus' tomb was now desecrated by grave robbers. Have we ever felt as panicked as Mary, so truly terrified? A real tragedy makes our world crumble around us. How could we ever feel the weight of Mary's tragedy? We have peaceful, prosperous, and easy lives. Or do we? This is a different Easter because we have to stay at home. But imagine what this Easter would be like if the coronavirus was more like the Black Plague of the mid-1300s. In the Black Plague, nearly 2/3 of all Europeans died. Could we imagine if 2 out of every 3 people in Illinois, in Wisconsin, and in our homes died? We would not be inconvenienced, but totally terrified with a Black Plague kind of pandemic. We would be living in a tragedy and ready to lose our minds. We would be crying uncontrollably like Mary. The real tragedy today, however, is the evil plague of our sins. Sin has infected 100% of the people and brings eternal death. Satan blinds our eyes to see sin more like a pimple than a plague. We are amazed at the callous hearts of others, but fail to see the evil death in our own hearts. How do hearts become so hard that shooting innocent people on the interstate or in schools is like a game? How evil must someone be to sell teenage girls into the slavery of prostitution? How dead in sin is the soul that makes millions of dollars feeding heroin, cocaine, and meth to addicted Americans? But are our lies, our greed and lust, our self-centered sins any less evil than theirs? We might not end someone's life with a bullet, but we destroy them with our words, our fists, or our power. We might not force them into slavery, but do we tempt them into sin or manipulate them into sin? We might not feed drugs to an addict, but does our nagging feed their anger? Our coveting feed their discontent? And our slander feed their bitterness, rage, lust, and slander? We destroy lives with our sins, and we are an abomination to our God's holiness. The worldwide tragedy is that Judgment Day is coming with a sentence of eternal damnation for millions of people. In the book of Revelation, this great tragedy is recorded. The rest of the people who were not killed by the plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, idols of gold, silver. They did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immoralities, or their thefts. After the plague, the warning of God's coming judgment, things returned to their normal, sinful state. Sinners thought little of their sins. Mary knelt weeping at Jesus' tomb. It is truly a tragedy if Jesus is dead. But as she was trying to comprehend an eternity without Jesus, she heard her name, Mary. She had heard that voice before. Her name, that voice, pierced through the wailing in her heart. Could it be? How could it be? Jesus was dead. Is he now alive again? She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. With a single word, her life was turned from tragedy into victory. This was as radical as when Jesus called the seven demons out of her. But this victory was for all eternity. Mary could barely comprehend what Jesus standing there meant. She grabbed onto him. Jesus explained what his resurrection meant to her, the disciples, and all of us. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The God who was coming to judge all people is now our God and our Father. Jesus has paid for the crimes that we have done. Jesus has risen in victory to wash us clean of our filth. Jesus has forgiven us for all the evil we have done against his Father. The light of Jesus' resurrection shines in our hearts and souls. Jesus has driven out the demon of unbelief in us and has brought our sin-dead souls to life in his resurrection. Scripture describes all believers as Christ's bride. Our bridegroom, Jesus, was killed in battle, but the wedding was not canceled. Our bridegroom rose from the dead in victory over every sin that threatened to annul our wedding. Our wedding with the Son of God is on. We who once were enemies of his Father are now married to his Son. We sinners stand forgiven and are declared sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Since his Son loves us and has washed us holy in his blood, the Father accepts us as his own. Our Heavenly Father kisses us in pure love, wraps us in his robe of protection, and puts the wedding ring of grace on our finger. The Father cries tears of joy as his Son has married us to himself. The Father welcomes us into the family, into his home, and to his banquet table. Our risen Jesus, back to life, living and breathing, victorious and ruling, has turned our lives from tragedy into victory. There is no greater victory than to be the children of God. Jesus' Easter victory has removed our shame and given us his glory. We blush with pride to be the bride of our heavenly Savior. He has brought us out of the dark hole of evil into the light of his forgiveness. We were once doomed to be damned by the judge of all people. Like Noah in his ark, God lifts us up over the judgment that will roll across the face of the earth. Now we are freed citizens of heaven. Jesus has turned our lives from tragedy into victory, ultimate victory, eternal victory. Our King, our Savior, our Bridegroom lives. He is risen, and in him we too will rise to eternal life. Alleluia. Amen.